I'll begin these instructions for the practices of mindfulness by saying one of the most profound things that I could say. And if you can really understand this statement, life would be much easier. And the statement is, here I am. Here you are. Here we are. Unambiguously, you are here. Your body is in this time, in this place. It's only your thoughts that will take you away into the past, the future, into events far from here. And if all you do during this week is to remind yourself, here I am, here, here, it will be a profound week. Unambiguously, here. And you might use that simple word as a regular reminder whenever you need to remember, whenever you've forgotten that you're here. Just say to yourself in a gentle way, simple way, easy way, here. And the instructions we'll give during the course of the retreat could be seen as support for really arriving here, really kind of being centered here in a way that will feel meaningful, profound, freeing. A way that will show you how your world will always begin here, now. This is where it all starts, moment by moment. Your future begins now, here. And the instructions are to help us understand how to be present for all that might arise while we're here. How to be present for our bodies, how to be present for our emotional and psychological lives, how to be aware of our thinking and cognitive processes, how to be aware of awareness itself, how to be aware of how we're mindful, and how to be aware of the world around us. The sounds, the sights, the smells, the events. So you might think of this retreat as a journey. For those of you who are new to all this, for those of you who've done it many times before, it's a journey to arrive here. A place where you're already present, already here, but to really be here with all the richness and fullness, and to do so in a way where you're at ease, at peace, or do it in a way where freedom and compassion flow not as something that you are required to do, but freedom and compassion becomes who you are. So to begin the journey, it's often useful to have a little procedure at the beginning of this meditation to kind of get you centered here, to help you, remind you to really here's where you're going to be. One possibility for this is to take a few long, slow, deep breaths. And using the deeper inhalations as a way of physically feeling your body more fully. And a reminder, here in this body will be the locus of awareness. And then letting yourself exhale a little bit more fully than usual. Gently, long exhale as a way of letting go and settling in. Your breathing return to normal. And for the purposes of Vipassana practice, we don't usually do any kind of special breathing, no yogic breathing. We just let our body breathe itself in whatever way that the body naturally does. It's also helpful at the beginning of a sitting to spend a little bit of time scanning your body to first see if there's simple ways of sitting in a more aligned, balanced way. Sitting in a way that maybe expresses alertness. And for many people, that might be paying attention to the vertebrae of your spine. Maybe sitting up a little bit straighter than you normally would. Or allowing the chest to be a little more open, spread out. And also at the beginning of a sitting, it's nice to scan through your body to see if there's any obvious places, any obvious muscles that you can relax or soften. Maybe muscles of your face. As you exhale, allowing the muscles of your face to fall away from the bone. Perhaps it's possible to soften the shoulders. Maybe simply by feeling the weight of the shoulders, gently. Something in the shoulders can soften or relax. Perhaps something can soften in your chest. Any of the ways you might be bracing yourself against life, soften. And it might be possible to soften the belly. Letting the stomach, the belly kind of hang forward and down at ease. And then the primary instructions for the first day of retreat centers on breathing. For most people, that works well enough. There are other ways of meditating the breathing, but for now we'll talk about that. The idea is that breathing is a simple experience. And the first day of the retreat, it's really good to err on the side of staying very simple with whatever's happening. And so to keep coming back to your breathing and experiencing your breathing in a simple way, helping the mind calm down, helping you to disentangle yourself from all the concerns that might be swirling around. And to connect to your breathing, you might notice how your body experiences breathing. So it's not so much you're in the control tower watching the breath, but your awareness is in the body, feeling or sensing how the body experiences breathing. The movements of the chest. Or the movements of the belly. Or the movements or the sensations of air going in and out through your nostrils. Or the whole breath body, the total experience of the body breathing. Whatever way is easy for you, easiest for you to experience your breathing, whatever place in your body it's most comfortable, let that be your home base. When the mind wanders off, be content to always start anew, start over. No need to be discouraged. Only a need to start again. Resting your attention in that place where breathing is most compelling or easiest to experience. Being aware of the rhythm of breathing in and breathing out. Relaxing the thinking muscle, relaxing that place where thoughts begin. placing awareness in the middle of your body's experience of breathing, and gently sustaining the attention there. Hang out with that experience for as long as it's easy. Always ready to start again. Always ready to let go of your thoughts and come back again to the simple experience of breathing. Perhaps letting go of whatever you're thinking every time you exhale, so you can better let go into the body breathing. remembering to notice if you've drifted off in thought. If you have, take a moment to sense or feel or experience what it's been like to be lost in thought. Maybe recognizing the way that a clearer awareness disappears when we're lost in thought. And how there's a reawakening of a certain kind of awareness with waking up from thinking. And after you've taken a moment or two to experience, recognize what it was like to be lost. Let go of your thoughts and let your awareness once again take in the experience of breathing. So here you are, and in the course of the retreat, here will be your home. Here is the place to come back to. Here is the place where the practice unfolds. It's the place where the practice grows. And the more you can be really here in a full way, embodied way, heart-abled way, mind-abled way, and the more your, you know, the practice grows and develops. One of the things that we're often having to take into account is how much the mind thinks. Some people think more in words, some people more in images. And this is what the mind does. And there's no need to be adversarial towards that or discouraged by it. But is the material we're often working with or trying to somehow, mindfulness is like the tenderizer on the meat that makes it soft, you know, so like we're putting mindfulness in the mind and hopefully softening the strong pull, the strong, tough tendencies to keep thinking about anything and everything. And one of the ways to support that is to, give the thinking mind something to do that helps you in the practice rather than letting the mind just wander off and think whatever it does. And the very simple thought that some people will use to support the practice is called mental noting. It's just use a very simple little one word that characterizes what it is you're bringing your attention to, keeping your attention on. So if you're with your breathing, you use a simple thought. If you're breathing in, just say to yourself quietly, whisper in the mind, in. Breathing out, out. Or if the chest or belly are rising, say rising. If it's falling, say falling. And if you're hearing a sound, say hear, hearing. If you're completely, totally lost, then you can just say hear. You know, just hear in a nice, simple way. And just to remind you, you're here, come back. And some people don't like to do the mental noting. That's fine not to do it. But some people who feel like it's too much work, if they really pay attention, you probably discover that, yes, it is a little bit of work to do, but it actually helps the mind to be present much more if you didn't use it. Because the tendency to wander off into thought, those channels are well oiled. And it's so smooth, it's almost like a down, you know, going down the slide. It's like so smooth to kind of, it doesn't feel like any work. It's like, that feels so good, and, you know, just kind of, whew, there we go. And so in contrast to that, it may be a little bit of work to use the mental notes, but it, you know, it might keep you on track better than if you don't use it. So you can experiment with it if you like. So a simple thought to keep you present rather than have your thoughts wander off. The first day of the retreat is often a day that has its challenges because the most common one is sleepiness. And many people get really tired on the first day of the retreat. In fact, I like to think the first seventh of any retreat is the kind of a time where we're readjusting, making the transition. So if we sat a 2-week retreat would be the first 2 days. 7-week retreat would be like the first 7 days. That a little bit, we're kind of like just finding our way and settling and tired and all that. And somehow the mind knows how to adjust according to length of the retreat. It means varies a little bit. Sometimes it's 2 days, it's 1 day, and it varies from the first. But I say this to normalize it for you. If you find yourself really tired today, sleepy, I want to normalize it. It's quite common. And it's also normal for people to be very critical of themselves for being sleepy. And I can't do it. I chose the wrong retreat. You know, why did I do, you know, this is the wrong time of year to do it. This is, you know, on and on, kind of like, oh, I'm failing. That's also fairly normal. But one kind of normal we want to just kind of relax around. And the normal about, you know, I'm failing, that those thoughts, you don't want to believe those thoughts. They're not helpful. They're not really true. We want to be gracious about the tiredness of the first day, and Yes, your mind will wander off a lot, but just come back. Just come back. Always the refuge is to start over. Just come back the best you can. Often the first day of retreat, the body might be aching more, and some people who've been on retreats before are surprised by a new ache that they thought they'd left behind. And some people will have a headache the first day a little bit. It's a big transition. It's like giving up caffeine to come here, giving up all the usual ways in which the mind thinks and is engaged and activated. And sometimes the process of settling down, the mind, the body, the veins, capillaries have to go through a period of transition, and that transition sometimes, it's like with caffeine withdrawal. So whatever you feel today, I'd encourage you to think of it as there's no mistake that this is happening. There's no mistakes on retreat. This is just what I'm given to practice with and to be gracious with it. And to have that approach makes it a lot easier. And some of you won't have a difficult time today. And so if you don't think that you're failing because I've just normalized having difficulty. And by all means, if you feel like you need to sleep a little, take a nap during the day today, you're welcome to take a nap and take care of yourself. So now that you've been here for overnight, is there any practical questions about being here, logistical about the building, about finding your way, or anything that would be helpful for any of you to know at this point? Yes, please. They can, yes. So at the in a few minutes, Bob's going to do instructions for walking meditation, and then at the beginning of the next walking period, which is at 11, I'm going to give instructions for posture, meditation posture in here. And if you have a work meditation in the kitchen at 11 o'clock, and you want to come to the posture instruction, you can just come here. The kitchen will adjust accordingly. Would you like to know if they're going to come or not? Yeah, maybe during this next walking period, if you can go down there and just let Rachel know that let Rachel know there that you'll be going to the 11 o'clock, not coming to that the work meditation then. And sorry, or leave a note for her. Maybe it's enough just to leave a note on the board. And a couple of logistical things then. One is, part of the practice here at IRC is before every meal, before you serve yourself the food at the serving table, either to wash your hand or to use a sanitizer, and that helps kind of keep the colds from spreading. And the other is, it's also useful, helpful I think for the community, if after you wash your dishes in those little tubs, you also wash your hands. Go to the sink and wash your hands then as well, because those the water in those dishwashing sinks gets has unusual, it's an unusual ecology. And so it's just good to wash your hands again. And the more you wash your hands, the better, especially in the winter time on retreat. I think it was said yesterday, but there's that wonderful, in Zen they call it the Zen cough, and Vipassana we call it the Vipassana cough. And, you know, I don't know who gets the claim naming rights, but whatever it is, it's coughing into the crook of your neck like this. And certainly don't cough or sneeze into your hand, because you sneeze into your hand and then touch something, and then it spreads from there. Okay, so thank you all.
So I'd like to offer some walking meditation practice. And, in life, most of the time when we walk, we're going from point A to point B. And I sometimes like to look at walking meditation as it being all point A. That there's no place that we're going. And becoming aware of the direct experience of walking. This is the lifting of the foot up and the moving it forward and the placing it down. It's the shifting of the body weight. And again, that process of the lifting and the moving and the placing. And the walking meditation serves a couple of functions. And one, of course, although we're developing the continuity of mindfulness, it's part of the instructions for the retreat in the formal practices of sitting and the informal practices of the activities of our day-to-day living, we will be alternating between stillness and movement. And this helps support the practice. We're not going to be sitting for 11 hours a day straight, so we're alternating between the sitting and the walking meditation. And of course, the Sangha service and the yogi job and even going back to our room, brushing our teeth can be part of our mindfulness practice. So we're developing this continuity of mindfulness, and it's very supportive in walking meditation to also further support that continuity. Simultaneously, we can bring our awareness, the knowing of the walking as we're walking, and building the muscle, if you will, of concentration. So this two applications that can apply, the awareness and the steadying of the mind upon walking. And so as far as walking goes, probably be helpful to walk in more of a somewhat of a normal pace out of the meditation hall, because sometimes when we do walking practice, we can go very slowly, and if we started right from here to the door, we may not get out of the room. And so walk in a pace that's, you know, somewhat normal. And find a place, whether it's in the walking hall next door here or outside. There's a lot of different places to walk. And finding a place, my suggestion would be at first maybe more of sometimes what I like to call a narrow-gauged practice, like a laser beam. We're really paying attention to the process of walking. Maybe the length of a yoga mat or two or three lengths of a yoga mat. Doesn't have to be too far at first. And finding a place where you can settle and just beginning at one point and walking to that designated end point, perhaps again two or three or four yoga mat lengths. And then turning mindfully. To turn this body around, there's a lot of intricate movements to turn it around. And as you're walking, as we approach the place to turn, maybe just continue just the walk, not anticipate, am I going to turn to the left or the right? The body will actually inform you when you get to that point. And then as you turn, being aware of turning as you're turning. And then again, there's that process of the shifting of the weight, lifting the foot up, moving it forward, placing it down. If it seemed like there's so many steps, as far as lifting, moving, placing, shifting, you could just do lifting and placing. So find your way with it, to be mindful of walking as you walk. There will be times, of course, that the mind may meander off into the future, into the past. And once you recognize that, just acknowledge, okay, wandering, perhaps the mental note that serves, and then returning back to the lifting and the moving and the placing. Walking mindfully. When the bell rings, maybe just taking a moment to pause and just acknowledge this time of the more formal walking practice, and then continuing informally, of course, back to the meditation hall, so there's not an interruption into that, in that continuity of mindfulness. If there is anyone here that, due to their physical condition, it is difficult to walk, then I want to just support you to care for yourself in whatever way that's supportive to you, some mindful stretching outside of the hall somewhere. We want to keep the hall as a place of our sitting practice, but take care of yourself to mindfully move. You can apply that same application of mindfulness to movement if your body is not suitable for walking. So please do take care of yourself. So maybe we all can just practice for a moment right now, and the sense of that in just a moment we'll get up, and so we can even be mindful of this process of sitting into standing. So some hope you heard me before. This is helpful. So the sense of lifting and the moving and the placing. And then pausing where you are. And then listening to the body and beginning to churn it with awareness. And then again, after turning, there's a shifting of the weight, lifting the foot, moving it forward, and placing it down. So you're knowing that you're lifting as you're lifting, knowing that you're moving as you're moving, knowing that you're placing as you're placing, walking mindfully. And so from here, we'll continue on, and we'll hear the bell, and continuing to be mindful, walking back to the hall, and coming back to the breath. Thank you.